now for our responsive reading, Psalms 24, found on page 755 and 756. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof,
the world and
those who dwell therein. For God has found it upon the seas
and established it upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in God's holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts,
who do not lift up their souls to what is false,
and do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessings from the Lord,
and vindication from God of their salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord,
who seek the face of God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in.
Who is the ruler of glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates,
and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in. Who is this ruler of glory?
The Lord of hosts,
the Lord is the ruler of glory.
Let us turn to our second reading, again from the Hebrew Bible, 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and then following with 12b through 19. This is a story that we often hear, I think. But let us turn to it today. It's on page 267 in the Hebrew Bible in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baalah Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, can be found on page 180 of your New Testament Pew Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him. In love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us now turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. You can find this on page 38 of your pew Bible. And we are continuing on in the sequence of readings. So this is one that follows from what we read last week. Page 38. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is one of those Sundays where I don't know if I made the right choice to include the entire lectionary, because that last story is sort of a bummer. I'll tell you, when I was a kid growing up in the Roman Catholic Church, when they read this story, all I could do was envision this silver platter with this guy's head on it. Very grisly stuff. But let me flip you around again. Let's think about the joy. Let's think about John dancing. Well, earlier, and I thank everybody who came up in their joyous clothing. I appreciate it. Ron, I'm sorry you weren't here at the time. My guess is you would have given us a run for our money. But I appreciate you guys responding to my challenge to wear something that was joyful. My point of that was to get you in the mood for hearing the Bible lessons for today, especially that story from 2 Samuel where King David and his band of 30,000 chosen men of Israel brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Well, hopefully you heard it in the language and the description, but this was truly a joyful event for King David and the chosen people. But listen again to that description. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. It was literally the whole band. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. This amazing event was captured by an artist in the image that's on the front of your bulletin. You take a look at that. Now, I'm not sure how true to the event this was, but it conveys some of the joy that David was feeling. David was overjoyed to be serving God in this way, and so he worshiped and praised God with his whole being. But not everybody was impressed by David's joyful display through the streets. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. You may not be clear on this, but Michal was Saul's daughter, but she was also David's wife. It was a marriage both of love and politics, depending on whose perspective was being described. So David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, his wife, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me in the place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord." Now, there's some question, depending on what theologians are reading. Some people, that linen ephod that they talk about, what it looked like, if you can imagine, I think Rich Schneer would know this. You ever seen lederhosen that have the straps over the shoulders and the plate in the center? Well, that's what an ephod looked like, and it was worn over long tunics by the priests as they went in to worship in the temple. And the question comes up is whether that was all that King David had on, or he had robes as well. The question is, was he pretty much buck naked dancing in front of the whole city, or was he just less attired than a king should be? And it really doesn't matter, because the point was that his wife, the daughter of Saul, the former king, was shocked at his display in front of all the city. And his point was, I wasn't in this to impress people. I was dancing for the benefit of God. Well, switch gears from this ancient story from the Hebrew Bible to the 21st century here at Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. I want you to look around in the pews around you at your brothers and sisters who are here this morning. Take a look. Look around. As you look around, are we more like David or are we more like Michal? How often do we take stock of our lives and realize what amazing blessings God has given us? How often do we simply worship God with joyful hearts for who God is? Paul's letter to the Ephesians that Deacon Daniel read begins with a wonderful articulation of why we ought to praise God. Let me read you one verse again. "In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things, according to His counsel and will, so that we, who were first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. Paul is reminding the people of Ephesus that they ought to live for the praise of God's glory. Because of God's love for each of us, and because of what Jesus did through His crucifixion, death, and resurrection, because of this grace, we ought to praise and worship God. God is love. God is absolutely love and worthy to be praised. In Paul's words, we must live for the praise of His glory. Praising God ought to be the entire focus of our lives. When you come to church on a Sunday morning like you did today, when you come to church, are you more concerned with what other people think about you or what God thinks about you? In that competition that we had this morning about joyful clothing, whose approval were we seeking? Do you see a lot of joyful singing and dancing in our worship services? Could our Sunday services be described in this way? Pastor Will and all the people of Burns Church were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. Could you describe us that way? We are United Methodists, after all. Do you see much at all in the way of outward signs of our inner joy? Do people call out amen when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed in our church? Do people wave their arms in prayer and thanksgiving? Do people laugh or cry openly in our worship services? In the beginning pages of our United Methodist hymnal, even before you get to the contents page, you'll find a wonderful piece entitled Directions for Singing, taken from John Wesley's select hymns of 1761. Yeah, some of you are looking for it. Take a look at it sometime. You don't need to look at it now, but you can. Let me read two of John Wesley's seven instructions on how to sing in church. Number four, Roman letter four, if you're following along. Sing lustily and with a good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan. I love this stuff. This is John Wesley. And then if you look at number seven, above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. In order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing and see that your heart is not carried away with the sound, but offered to God continually, so that your singing shall be such as the Lord will approve here and reward you when He cometh in the clouds of heaven. Now, I fully understand that the culture of the white United Methodist Church is generally reserved and circumspect. But maybe we ought to listen a little more closely to these words from our founder, John Wesley. Perhaps we ought to pay more attention to Scripture and open ourselves to the amazing movement of the Holy Spirit in our midst. If you want to see what I'm talking about, you ought to go to worship one Sunday with the Tongue of Fellowship. And if you really want to see the boisterous rumblings of the Holy Spirit, attend worship with the Ghana Wesley United Methodist Fellowship. Our sisters and brothers from Tonga and Ghana are United Methodists through and through, but they are Christians of an entirely different flavor. I think that it is high time that we were a little more like King David and a little less like Michael. God is good all the time. Okay, let's try that again. God is good all the time. Well, that's a start. Holy Spirit, help us to loosen up a bit and learn to leap and dance before the Lord. Amen. You'll get it.